The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, first, let's go to the government restrictions that were introduced in County Donegal overnight.
Tonight, based on the information and advice of the National Public Health Emergency Team, the government has decided that all of County Donegal must now join Dublin at level 3 of the government's framework for restrictive measures, and again for a period of 3 weeks up to the 16th of October. As with Dublin, the government will be putting in place additional business supports for those affected by these additional restrictions.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin there, but should the government announce a lockdown in advance to suit businesses, or is it too risky a strategy for health reasons? We're joined in studio by Pete Lunn, head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. Pete, we're all getting a bit of an education in human behaviour through this pandemic in many ways, but if you look at not just the restrictions around Donegal now following Dublin and the likelihood that there will be other counties as well, in a general sense, are we beginning to behave badly?
There is almost no evidence that I can see that that is the case. So we have good tracking surveys that are high quality, where we ask questions about compliance in multiple different ways, including some kind of trick questions to catch people out who might not be telling the truth. We've been doing this for months. A lot of that work is actually carried out by Morrick Research. We've been following these tracking data for some time. If anything, the levels of compliance in Irish society have been edging up now for a good number of weeks. There was a drop in compliance sometime around the middle of the summer, not huge, but it was there. Compliance has generally, with the guidelines, has generally been very high, the large majority complying. Dropped a little in the middle of the summer, and it's generally been edging up.
So what's going on then? The numbers are going up. Is it because we're allowed to do more things and we're now doing them?
I think there's a really important point to be made here. I mean, I keep hearing these words, complacency and fatigue, and they may be our enemy, they may not. But as a behavioural scientist, I can actually see no evidence at all that fatigue is changing people's compliance behaviour. Because if it was, we would be seeing a drop in compliance on these measures, and they're good measures, and we're not. What actually happened, I mean, the cases began going up now almost 2 months ago, in fact, about 2 months ago, and they started going up with a time lag after we lifted restrictions. About 6 to 8 weeks after we lifted restrictions, the cases started to go up. And I think it's really important to understand, therefore, that just because the numbers are going up does not necessarily mean that fewer people are complying. In fact, the data suggests that more people, if anything, are complying. So the numbers are going up because of the amount of social activity that's allowing the virus to spread. We lifted restrictions. And there is social activity, and that's causing it to spread.
These localised restrictions, which are becoming more frequent and likely to be with us for a while, and if you look across at the UK, there are so many cities now in various localised restrictions. There is a question about making the decision and communicating the decision to introduce it. Businesses, for example, would like as much advance notice as possible. But then individuals might behave in a way, it's a sort of this idea of, well, look, I'll get the last pints in before the rule changes tomorrow night, that sort of thing.
I absolutely agree with that. You've summed the trade-off up really well. I also think it's possibly a bit more tricky in the border counties where people might be wanting to get across the border to purchase cheaper goods. You know, if you live in Lifford, you've got Asda Strabane just over the bridge and you know there's a lockdown coming. I mean, you know, what are you going to do if you think you need to stock up a little bit?
It's interesting. I live in Donegal, very close to the border with Derry, and just in the run-up to the lockdown, you would normally have a lot of people, let's say, from Derry coming across into Donegal to buy fuel. Just on a regular basis, it's cheaper. There's lower levels of excise. Lots of them were stocking up, not panic buying, but actually there were kind of queues at some of the petrol pumps because they it was the last opportunity for a few weeks to avail of that cheaper petrol, and vice versa. People were exchanging goods, for example, in shops and dairy because their time to exchange a product that they didn't like might run out.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's important that the message gets out there as well, that we're not seeing panic buying again. I'd be extremely surprised if we did. I mean, we learnt the first time that there were not problems with the supply chain. That was not what this pandemic was going to do to us. It was going to do other things to us. So I'd be very surprised to see any kind of panic
buying. But in the UK, retailers are already rationing toilet roll, pasta, that sort of thing. Morrison's, Tesco said they're going to do the same thing. Now, they say they're doing it to preempt and prevent people from overreacting, but it could cause it, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a real shame that that message got out again. It's a real mistake, because there are a proportion of people within our society who worry about it, and if they see other people rushing out to buy stuff, they'll just do it anyway because they'll assume the shelves are going to clear. I mean, it's really important. There's no suggestion that supply chains are going to be interrupted. In fact, if anything, they're less likely to be interrupted than 6 months ago because we've adapted to the disease in the meantime. I do want to make one point that I didn't make earlier that I think is important. I'm not suggesting anywhere in what I'm saying to you here that non-compliance isn't a problem. It is. I mean, we can see examples where larger social gatherings that are against the regulation, against the regulations, have caused large degrees of spread. So it is the case that non-compliance is really important, and reducing larger social gatherings is also important. And people are more likely to have them with people they know, because some of the psychology here is that we think strangers are more likely to have this disease than people we know, which of course on average cannot be true. So non-compliance is important. The point I'm really was really trying to get across to you is this, that there's no evidence that non-compliance is increasing just because we see the numbers going up. Doesn't mean that non-compliance is increasing. Actually, if anything, compliance is increasing.
Okay, Pete Lunn, you don't sound like you're going to be heading to a rave this weekend. Anyway, Pete Lunn, head of ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.